artificial intelligence, AI. It's been all the rage. It's had NVIDIA's share price rocket from $100 all the way to $800 as people have wanted to buy chips and improve their systems. We've seen the likes of Meta launching their own AI tools, the likes of Google. Any real big tech player has looked into this AI rabbit hole. But now we're looking down this rabbit hole in the context of investing and trying to unpack whether or not there's a place for AI in investing. Joining me to take a look at this is the Chief Investment Officer at Rezco Asset Management. That's Rob Spaniard. Good evening, Rob. Thanks so much for taking the time. AI has taken over. I mean, we've gone through the dot-com bubble. We've gone through COVID-19. We've gone through the crypto craze. Now we're going through AI. But AI in investing?
AI, you know, obviously there's a side as investors. We invest in the companies like NVIDIA. But I think what we're talking about today, which is how changes our industry, how we use it to invest. And we think it's very fundamental. It's going to make a major difference. It already is. We're using some of this tooling, and it's very powerful tooling. Now, AI in our world, it's a bit like the internet. We knew it was going to change everything, but it was a bit hard trying to work out how it's going to do that. And how can you do it in a way that's good for your business? And where do you just become obsolete? So our feeling, if you don't get your hands around as an asset manager, you're going to be obsolete.
Mm. Now, Rob, you mentioned that it's already in play. It's already in our world at the moment. What are the current roles that AI is fulfilling that we're seeing? And what are the potential future roles that we don't yet know of?
It's an issue. It's creeping in everywhere. And, you know, we split it into two pieces, accelerators and augmenters. We can augment what you're doing. So accelerating, it helps you get to the answer quicker. And that's being used more and more by investors. Now, if you can imagine a spreadsheet, that changed the world when I first was an analyst. You previously used to, believe it or not, used to do that manually and add it all up and come to the answer. And then the guys invented these wonderful things called spreadsheets where you put in thousands of numbers and popped out an answer as quick as you could blink. Now, that bit's old. It's the putting in of those numbers into your spreadsheet, if you could put it like that. It's obviously not a spreadsheet. That accelerates. You have to come up to the answer much quicker. And so it's that acceleration of what you do. The place where we're already using it is where it augments what you're doing as an investor. So we're using it on screening tools. It's, you know, what we would do as investors, we would look at a lot of graphs in a day. It's not because you're looking, you're just trying to do technical analysis, but there's a picture. How's the price moving? If a share's going up a lot, you want to know why it's going up a lot and you're looking for reasons. If a share falls on good news, that's a really bad sign. Now, a lot of those signals that any PM would be looking at, AI can actually do it much better because it can look at pictures better than we can. And so it's a process, and it's happening right through the investment industry.
Mm-hmm. I like that you separated that into, just as you said, the accelerator part of it and the augmentation part of it. But I also want to look at the impact that this then has. And you've touched on this around the analysis and around the ability to process information. I guess from the way I see it is there's so much information out there on the internet, and AI can be a very useful tool to aggregate this information at an alarming rate. So instead of, as you rightly mentioned, having to read or dissect or look back at the last 15 years of data, you can get AI to do that, put in a couple of variables and say, give me the outcome of this analysis subject to these variables. How much of an impact does that have on, one, the decision-making, to the accuracy of the information? Because really, AI has no limit in terms of information, and it doesn't pull anything based on its own bias. It just pulls based on what is out there.
You know, to answer it slightly different way, you know, the problem you're having in the investment market at the moment is, and I don't know if you obviously follow the market, you would have noticed that large caps, you know, companies as big as Meta or Palantir or Google, they announce their earnings and the share can be up 10-15% pre-market. So the US market hasn't even opened and the share's moved 15%. Now that tells you the speed that you've got to digest that earnings announcement. In the old days, you had time, you got your coffee, you got the earnings announcement, you listened to the management earning call later in the day, you've sharpened your pencil, fired up your computer, generated your spreadsheet, and you came out with an answer as an analyst, and you then met with the investment committee the next day, and you said, "Oh, I think this thing's a buy." The problem is doing it pre-market after the earnings announcement. So you can see where there's elements of the market, how quickly they're processing the data. And you've just got to accept it's doing that. Now, the next generation, you with large language models, the problem we always have as a PM, you can have 100 analysts working for you. You've got to read the 100 reports they put out, and you can't read it quick enough. So where you can start using AI to look through, skim through, and that technology with these large language models is becoming a lot more accessible. It's not as good as a good analyst, but the problem is you've got to get to the answer quicker. And that's that combination of those two, how accurate it is, how quickly you get there.
But I suppose that comes back to what we were saying around the aggregation of information. If you've got those 10 reports, you can then have AI tell you which analyst said what and come up with a nice little summary or one consolidated report without you having to read through those 10 points or those 10 reports, rather. Rob, how do you then bridge the gap between using AI as a tool and not finding yourself in a situation where AI makes all of the investment decisions? Because that is another element. I mean, quantitative analysis and AI and robotics and machine learning can be used for decision-making purposes and for portfolio management itself. How do we then sort of draw the line between an entirely automated kind of strategy there and the role of a PM? Because I mean, we can both agree that a PM is not likely to be replaced. It's not a sensible thing to completely replace them.
Fortunately, Jeremy, we still got a place. I think we've all seen those sci-fi movies where the computer goes absolutely crazy, and so you've got to use but verify. That's what how you've got to you verify, because it can do some really dumb things. So you don't blindly let the computer start running your money, but you're picking up signals, and now you're picking up signals, and now and again it's talking complete rubbish, but that's why you verify. And it's going to get better and better. So you're learning when to trust it, when not to trust it, and it's part of your process. At this stage in our world, it's part of the process. I don't think it really gets to the stage where you don't need PMs anymore. Look, there's a version of that which is ETFs. Index trackers don't need the PM, and on some global shares they tend to do better than the PMs. I think the next generation is AI that does better than the dumb ETFs.
But
And that's starting to technology starting to be there.
Rob, to that, I mean, one could easily argue that something like an ETF could be a better alternative, could be something like an actively managed certificate, where you still have your PM involved in the strategy and in the management of the tracking that takes place there. So there is always, as you rightly mentioned, going to be a role for the PM in that respect. If you're just tuning in and you're just joining the conversation now, we're speaking to Rob Spaniard, who is a chief investment officer at Rezco, around the role of artificial intelligence in investing. Rob, I want to move to just from a foundation point of view, right? So from understanding what a useful tool this can be for a retail investor or someone that's just getting into the investment space in their personal capacity. We know that from a fund management point of view and an asset management point of view, there's a lot of uses there. But from your average Joe, your average Jimmy, your average Rob who's out there, how useful is it to then plug into an AI resource to be able to read the reports that Rob puts out as the fund manager?
I think it's quite complex at this stage. I think it's hard for just the average investor, if they're prepared to work it and spend time using some of these tooling. It'll start over time adding more and more value, and there's going to be commercial tools available that will help you process and read a whole lot of information out there. I think it's also to be a little bit beware, because at the moment, it's become like we've had this thing in investing like greenwashing. Suddenly everything was an ESG fund because it just sold well. where it actually wasn't just the same old fund with the ESG put on the front. And obviously authorities globally have stopped that. But you have the same thing with AI. This is an AI fund and it uses AI. And then you see every conference we go to, and we talk at a lot of conferences, every second talk is on how people are using AI. And a lot of cases, they're not. They're playing with the tools. It's complex. And so for every time you use Google, you're using AI. So all of our life, we don't even realize it that we're using a lot of this tooling. So I think to the average Rob or Jimmy starts to think about it and understanding it's fairly complex.
Rob, what about the costs? We haven't looked at the costs. Is it more expensive within an investing context, whether it's as a retail investor or as an institutional investor, to deploy an AI solution? We've touched on the job side of it and how some jobs can be done by AI, but it's not going to completely take over. But what about the cost implications? Is it cheaper to then deploy that as opposed to hiring six or seven analysts?
It can be, but it's not. It's so we've had in the past. We've been doing 6, 7 years, and you have these horror things where the AI model goes chugging away, and something breaks in the background. You come to work the next day, and you just spend $1 million on AI training on Google or someone. So you need to have the processes and pipelines and that to do it properly. And then you can get cost effective. For example, in our training models, we've got the cost down by about 90% over the last couple of years with the infrastructure, building the infrastructure around it. It's an infrastructure play. You've actually got to build a whole operating system infrastructure. It's not about, if you're just going to buy a laptop and try to run a model, it becomes hellish expensive. It never really going to happen. It's a complex, for investors to do it, it's quite complex. And then the cost can come down because you can do it at scale. The example we sometimes use is you can technically cut a tree down with a Swiss Army knife, but not really going to work. You probably need a big chainsaw.
And when you do obviously look at these things and you look at whether you're deploying the whether you buy the computer or what softwares you run or what AI programs you run, obviously the goal is to enhance and improve from where we stand at the moment. It's not to deploy AI and send us backwards in time. It's to elevate what we do at the moment, either as fund managers, as asset selectors, as investors. How is AI going to benefit that? How is AI going to allow us to improve ourselves in the process of making better investment decisions?
You can go through way more data. And in some ways, it's a dangerous game because you've been gamed by AI. There's all these sort of the news you read, you're being fed by what an AI model says you like to read. So some degree, there's a danger you're trying to combat too, that you've got to be astute and so you've got to run hard just to stay where you are, pretending AI doesn't exist. But if you can find the specialization to use it, it will make you AI. What we're finding in our particular world, it's starting to give very interesting signals, but it is complex. And the problem is there's a lot of what's touted out there. People, you can buy $5 a month, you can get a supposed buy list of an AI signal, which you can outperform the market. The point is, can you really? Because you can't back test it. Does it really work? So there's a lot of, it's difficult to make use of it, but how you would, it's not to try AI everything. So to the listeners out there, you start to use things like ChatGPT, and it does some stuff particularly well. And you use it as little bits in your process where it really helps you, like analyzing a report. For example, an AI transcription of this conversation we're having would probably be quite good. The ones I've seen, it kind of can boil it down to Jimmy and Rob talked for 20 minutes, and it probably boil it down to half a page of really worth reading. They've got that good.
I think something you mentioned that's so important, Rob, is around the learning side of AI is to always be mindful of the fact that it might tailor its answers and its solutions to you because that's what it thinks you want to see. So it is always important to keep an objective approach or an objective mind and use it for only what you need it for so that you don't become dependent on it. Let's leave the conversation there, Rob. Thanks so much for those insights. That's Rob Spaniard, who is the Chief Investment Officer at Rezco Asset Management, just going through AI in investing and the role of artificial intelligence in investments.